The intelligence of the universe is social. Accordingly, it has made the inferior things for the sake of the superior, and it has placed the superior in harmony with one another. You see how it has subordinated some creatures, coordinated others, and assigned to everything its proper portion, and has brought together the superior beings into concord with one another. How have you behaved hitherto to the gods, to your parents, brethren, children, teachers, to those who looked after your infancy, to your friends, kinsfolk, to your slaves? Consider if you have hitherto behaved to all in such a way that this may be said of you, that you never wronged a man in deed or word, and call to recollection how many things you have lived through and been able to endure, and that the history of your life is now complete and your service is ended. How much have you seen beauty? How many pleasures and pains have you disregarded? How much honour and glory have you spurned? And to how many unkind folk have you shown kindness? Why do unskilled and ignorant minds disturb him who has skill and knowledge? Well, what is the mind that has skill and knowledge? It is the mind that knows beginning and end, and knows the reason which pervades the world and administers the universe through all time by fixed periods or cycles. Soon, very soon, you will be ashes or a skeleton, just a name, or not even a name, and any such name is but sound and echo, and the things which are much valued in life are empty and rotten and trifling, and like little dogs biting one another, and little children quarrelling, laughing, and then straightway weeping. But fidelity and modesty and justice and truth are fled up to Olympus from the widespread earth. What then is there that still detains you here? If the objects of sense are always changing and never stand still, and the organs of perception are dull and easily receive false impressions, and the poor soul itself is an exhalation from blood, and if to have good repute amidst such a world as this is an empty thing, why then do you not wait in tranquillity for your end, whether it is extinction or removal to another state? And until that time comes, what is required? Why, what else than to venerate the gods and bless them, and to do good to men, and to practice tolerance and self-restraint? But as to everything which is beyond the limits of our poor flesh and breath, to remember that this is neither your own nor in your power. You can pass your life in an equable flow of happiness if you can go by the right way and think and act in the right way. These two things are common both to the soul of God and to the soul of man, and to the soul of every rational being, that they are not subject to external impositions, and to hold good to consist in the disposition to justice and the practice of it, and in this to let your desire find its termination. If this is neither my own ill-doing, nor an effect of my own ill-doing, and the common good is not injured, why am I troubled about it? And what is the harm to the common good? Do not be carried along indiscriminately by what may come across in some people as a great loss, but give help to all according to your ability and their deserving, even if they should have sustained loss in matters which are indifferent. On the other hand, do not take such a felt loss to be necessarily a real loss, which is a bad habit of thinking. But just as the old man in the play, when he leaves, asks for the return of his foster child's top, whilst remembering that it is merely a top, so also should you in this case. When you are crying out to the people on your public platform, "Have you forgotten, man, what these things are worth?" Oh, yes, but they are objects of great concern to these people. Will you then be made a fool as well? "I was once a fortunate man, but I lost it I know not how." But good fortune is something you assign yourself, and a good fortune is a good disposition of the soul, good emotional responses, good actions.